Good morning. I'd like to start my talk this morning by acknowledging the passing away of Sojin Mel Weitzman, abbot of the Berkeley Zen Center. Mel Weitzman passed away on Thursday evening. He left an incredible legacy of having guided, for the longest continuous time of any sangha in America. I don't know that for sure, but he's been abbot and leading and founded. He founded Berkeley Zen Center and has been leading it for decades. I don't know exactly when he started, but I think it was in the late 60s. And he was 91 years old, so he had a very full life. As they say, he leaves an amazing legacy. I didn't have that many opportunities to practice with him. I did sit one sesshin with him a few years ago, and that he and Rev co-led. And years ago, I sat one day sitting at Berkeley Zen Center, but my main practice wasn't there, so I didn't get over there that much. But the one vivid memory I have of Mel was when I was a resident at Tassajara, and this was a time when the then abbot of Tassajara had committed some transgressions which had resulted in him being asked to not come to the Zendo, and ultimately led to his resignation and leaving the community. And this all happened kind of out of view of us at Tassajara. And so various people came down to talk to us about what had happened. And I just vividly remember Mel coming and giving a talk and in the Zendo and saying with great conviction, in Zen, we teach by example. And those words have always stuck with me over the years, and that's the way I will remember Mel Weitzman, as someone who really himself taught by example and by tremendous dedication over, as I say, decades. So he will be greatly missed by the Berkeley Zen Center Sangha and many people. I'm sure there will be a memorial ceremony at some point, and I don't know anything about that yet. So we're going to talk today about kind speech, and I wanted to bring forward a incidents of speech or something, because one of the things about speech is there's outward speech to others, and then there's the inner talk, right? There's the internal dialogue. It's always in the form of words, and so we have both aspects of speech to be mindful of. And we have to, given, our practice of mindfulness, we want to be aware of, where we're coming from when we talk. And I had this kind of amusing episode the other morning. I was brushing my teeth early in the morning with my electric toothbrush, and suddenly the words appeared as if from not so much as a thought, but it, just the words came as if not created by me exactly. And the words were, get your mind out of the gutter. And I immediately realized, this isn't because I'm thinking, licentious thoughts or something like that. It's because I was thinking about what I was going to have for breakfast. And breakfast was still a long way off. I was, brushing the teeth is just before, getting a drink of water, doing my little exercises, and then sitting. So breakfast was, it was not of the present moment. And so these words came, get your mind out of the gutter. And I was almost had to laugh, like that these words came to admonish me to, pay attention to what I was doing right then, right? To just be brushing my teeth and not looking forward, in that way. So, that's an example of which you might think, well, that's an example of like unkind speech or something, but I didn't take it that way at all. I took it as a kind of a practice instruction. Kind of wake up, pay attention. We have to question our speech, and sometimes what might appear perhaps as unkind isn't really. And then of course there are many examples I could cite of speech, internal dialogue that is, self-critical, self, attacking kind of dialogue. And that we need to apply our mindfulness to that in a concerted way. I think the first practice relative to kind speech is to be mindful of what we're saying internally and externally. In Buddhism, there's three modalities, so three locations where we create karma, and those are body, speech, and mind. Three modalities where we create karma, and also three modalities where we unravel or unbind or untie karma. So these are, the three venues that we can apply our mindfulness. In the teaching of Shakyamuni Buddha, there's a fascicle, but that's not right. Anyway, there's a teaching called the Great Unbinding. This teaching of the Great Unbinding is how to unravel or unknot or untie our karmic habits, of body, speech, and mind. How do we do that? Mindfulness, as I said, is prerequisite. And also a deep I think, study of interdependence, of the causes and conditions that create karma, and what causes and conditions, causes and conditions that create unwholesome karma, and causes and conditions that create wholesome karma. Okay, so we can have wholesome karma as well. It's not just karma just means action, right? Just action. And three places where we can do action, and the one we're talking about today is speech. That's we're going to focus on speech. So I think if we consider that there's, kind speech, which was the subject of the announcement about this day, we have to also consider that there is unkind speech. And so we have to be mindful of, the unwholesome aspects of speech and mindful of the wholesome aspects of speech. So, the unwholesome aspects of speech, I think those are probably pretty easy for you to think what they might be. Speech that is judgmental, speech that's based on prejudice, speech that is based on stereotypes, speech that is based on assumptions of wrongdoing by another that aren't warranted, speech based on untruth. These would all be unwholesome or unkind speech. And I think we're well aware of the prevalence of unkind speech in our social discourse and political discourse and so forth. That's been pretty apparent lately. It's pretty apparent that the world at large is not studying this topic as deeply as it needs to be studied. On the other hand, we have kind speech, and kind speech would not be based on prejudice or be judgmental or be based on stereotypes. It would be, on the other hand, honest speech. It would be careful speech. It would be speech that has the aim of harmony and goodwill toward other people and toward the self. So the word kind is related to the words kin, as in your kinfolk, and it's also related to kindred. So when you think of those words, kin and kindred, if we speak with people and with the mind that they are kindred spirits, if we speak with ourselves and say, am I kindred with myself? Am I kind with myself? Am I kin with myself? So when we speak with someone, you know, in a kindred spirit, we speak more like they are us, because we feel our commonness with them. We feel our kinship with them. And when we feel kinship and love, we won't be, you know, we're very unlikely to be unkind to someone with whom we feel great kinship. We really want to develop harmony and mutual good feeling with goodwill with people with whom we feel kindred spirits. So in our study of kind speech, we can also look to the precepts. All of the precepts are about, they all have something to do with speech. Every one has something to do with speech or some aspect of speech. But there's three that are very specifically about speech. And those are, do not lie, do not slander, and do not praise the self at the expense of others. So those three are specifically about speech. And each of those is, when we break those precepts, what we're doing is we're elevating the self and diminishing the other. We're elevating the self. We're putting the self in the center, which of course we have a great habit of doing, and we're considering the other peripheral or not on equal footing. And therefore we're willing to slander. We're willing to praise the self at the expense of others. We're willing to lie. So if we want to be practitioners of kind speech, we have to avoid the kind of speech that elevates the self and diminishes others. We need to follow the precepts related to speech. So, you know, this theme, kind speech, actually, you know, comes off. I didn't make this up. This is a subject of study in the Buddha Dharma, and particularly in Dogen's teaching, in the teaching called Bodhisattva's Four Methods of Guidance. Bodhisattva's Four Methods of Guidance, and we've looked at these before in this sangha. But I'd like to read you this section that it's very short. Dogen is rarely short, but in this case, he's rather short and to the point, and in with an economy of words, which is rather nice, and actually understandable. Without too much commentary, I think you will understand it without me having to say, you know, to explain anything, which is kind of, as we've seen, some of us, kind of rare in Dogen. Sometimes Dogen needs a lot of explanation. This one, not so much. So he says, kind speech means that when you see sentient beings, you arouse the mind of compassion and offer words of loving care. It is contrary to cruel or violent speech. In the secular world, there is the custom of asking after someone's health. In Buddhism, there is the phrase, please treasure yourself, and the respectful address to seniors, may I ask how you are? It is kind speech to speak to sentient beings as you would to a baby. Praise those with virtue, pity those without it. If kind speech is offered, little by little, virtue will grow. Thus, even kind speech, which is not ordinarily known or seen, comes into being. You should be willing to practice it for this entire present life. Do not give up, world after world, life after life. Kind speech is the basis for reconciling rulers and subduing enemies. Those who hear kind speech from you will have a delighted expression and a joyful mind. Those who hear of your kind speech will be deeply touched. They will never forget it. You should know that kind speech arises from kind mind, and kind mind from the seed of compassionate mind. You should ponder the fact that kind speech is not just praising the merit of others. Listen to this last line carefully. It has the power to turn the destiny of a nation. So, you know, this week we saw what can happen if this is ignored. And it's devastating when this is ignored. Just devastating. Can result in destruction and death when this is ignored. But of course, the Dogen is not trying to, you know, give us a negative lesson. He's trying to give us a positive lesson. He's trying to give us some inspiration, some encouragement to practice kind speech. And kind speech starts with kind mind and compassionate mind. As we think, so we will become. As we think, so we will speak. This is the ancient teaching. But we, you know, in order to start, it's important to not overlook, you know, not, you know, overlook our karmic inheritance relative to speech. We learned what speech was before we knew what speech was. We heard speech, but we didn't know what it was. But it was fascinating. And we mimicked it. And we heard the tone of speech. And we heard, and we took what we heard to be what speech was. So if we heard harsh, unkind speech, then we took that to be what speech was. And that unkind, harsh speech had a way of becoming, you know, our speech. Because it was what we heard before we understood what speech even was. We heard the tone. We heard the purpose behind the words. We absorbed that. And we absorbed our accent, right? And on the other hand, if we heard kind speech, careful speech, loving speech, then we took that to be what speech was. And that became our speech. That became our tone. That became what we understood to be the purpose and meaning of words. So I'm always fascinated by when I see, like on a film, I see an actor, say like a British actor or an Australian actor, who takes a part, and in that part they play an American. So they learn for the part, they learn an American accent. They might even learn a New York accent or a Southern accent. You know, I mean, they might learn a regional accent even within America, and they can be, you know, they can learn it so well and so convincingly that you would never know that they didn't grow up speaking with that accent. And to me, this is the kind of skill that we need to learn. If we have some habits of speech that we're not happy about or we find wanting, the project is much like that actor that learns to speak with a different accent. Learns to speak in a different dialect. They have to give up what words are supposed to sound like. And they have to deeply listen in order to do that. And that's one of the big keys to kind speech, changing your speech, is you have to be able to listen. Nobody can change their accent without deeply, deeply listening to what the words sound like. Nobody can learn, say, a foreign language. I've been studying Spanish for 10 years. I'm still trying to really get the accent, you know, really understand that the sounds of the vowels are different. But I can hear it. But then sometimes I can't speak it, right? I can sometimes, but other times I forget. It doesn't come out. The new sound. Your tongue, actually, the muscles in your tongue have to change. It's that deep. You have to be able to begin to do things with your tongue that you didn't do before. So this is quite a project. And I would contend that if we develop some habits of speech, like we developed our accent at a very young age, that it's a long-term project to develop, you know, these new and more kind, more harmonious, melodious ways of speaking to people, to speak to people. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with Dogen that we should learn to speak to people like we'd speak to a baby, but maybe it's just the underlying feeling of that, you know, the kindness that comes out in us, when we are with a baby, right? The kind of just, we're not holding anything back for that baby when we're with them. It's all 100% just being charmed. you know. So that, you know, this also is not unrelated to our Zazen practice. You know, Zazen practice is really a practice of deep listening, and it's also a practice of it's a practice of receptivity. You know, you can't really learn any new way of being unless you can, you know, unless you can be open enough to receive that new way of being. You can't let any new information in if you're closed down and locked in to, you know, some habitual way of being. So, you know, we take this posture, this upright posture, we open up, you know, through the chest, we open up our bodies. And that's a gesture of being receptive to, you know, something new. Please, something new come, some mind that we can really, really enjoy, you know, and that we can say, that's a new mind. I really like it. It's rather sweet, and it makes me want to be. I mean, it is me, and I am sweet. Oh my gosh! Could I imagine myself as a sweet person? That's been really hard for me. I don't know about you, but I'm still on that journey of imagining myself as a sweet and kind person, but Zazen gently persuades me what I really am. That's what Zazen does. It gently persuades me what I really am. And I'm really encouraged by that. I'm really encouraged by letting go of habitual learned accent, the words, the purpose, the meaning of speech that I absorbed before I knew what speech was. This is the long-term project, isn't it? I mean, this is the long-term project of learning a new language. Learning the language of, the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. How do they talk? How do they relate to people? How do they encourage each other? How do they encourage their friends? How do they encourage themselves? How do they talk to themselves? I'm trying to find out about that. Sometimes it's like, you don't know what it's going to be. Sometimes it's like, get your mind out of the gutter. You know, where did that come from? But that was encouraging, actually. That was an instance where something that sounded like it was self-critical. I knew it wasn't that way. It wasn't that way. It was just like a little bit. Well, I don't think any of you have been hit with a stick in a zendo, but it's a little bit like they call it the kiyosaku, and maybe Kenny. Yeah, Kenny. Okay. Oh, Barry. Oh, Jody. Okay. So it's a little, that phrase was a little bit like kiyosaku, you know, like wake up, two hits. So, in that instance, I found something that normally might be critical to not be so. So I think we can change, you know, and I think it's a long-term project. I think it's like learning a language. And we have to learn, you know, how we have to have some examples. Maybe we listen to some examples. We have some good friends in the way who we look up to and show an example to us of speaking very gently and kindly and carefully. Kind speech is careful speech. Choosing the words carefully. We think about who's listening to us, and we think about how it will be received, how what we say will be received. It's not just, you know, yeah, you know, some, I used to think, I think there was a time when I thought, well, I think I learned this somewhere, you know, in that period where I didn't know what speech was, but I just thought, I just need to say what's on my mind. And I found out, no, actually, the great lesson has been, don't necessarily say what's on your mind, you know, or really know, first know what's on your mind, and then you think of the other person, and before you say, before you activate your vocal cords, there's a pause, and you think about the other person, and then you think, no, I don't think I will say that right now, I don't think I'll ever say that. In fact, I don't think I'll ever say that to anybody. So, you know, that's the kind of discernment that comes with practice. And it really comes from it really comes from learning to listen in Zazen. So, you know, in Zazen, we can really learn to listen to ourselves, not to the internal dialogue. It's more like just listening. It's like, oh, what's that Bahia Sutra? Yeah. In what is heard, let there just be the heard. You know, just be the heard. So it's that kind of receptivity. In what is heard, just let there be what is heard. In the hearing, just let there be the hearing. And this is the kind of, open, soft, receptive mind and heart that we cultivate in our sitting practice that can then, you know, infuse our body, speech, and mind. We can change. We can learn a new accent. But we really do have to be quite dedicated to it. And that's the project that we're engaged with.